understand what we're going to do. We're going to read His Word today like we have never done before, and there's a purpose. And I promise you that I will bring the Old Testament to 2017 at the end of the sermon to put it in your life and in your day. Amen? So hallelujah. Joanne, if you would bring us into church on the last Sunday in January. Listen to the words that we use. These are the words that Jesus gave. Who gave us this?
Jesus
gave us this. So He gave us this prayer. Amen. So we should follow Him. Yes. Hallelujah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Give Him praise, church. That's your Father in heaven. And who would we be to change what this says? Amen. Amen. The kingdom come. Whose will be done? Thy will be done. On earth as it is in
heaven.
And who are we to change what His will is? Amen. We can say what we feel, but can we change His will? No. And should we change His will? Absolutely not. Are you with me? Praise God. Listen, Meredith got for me. Maybe someday I won't need glasses again. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I read so much. Responsive reading, 57. Psalm 57. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. Imagine that, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. Your turn. We forget to do that. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who will swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth.
My soul will dwell in wonders, and I among the sons of men will stand upright. We see your spirit
in the
earth, and your
tongue shall be exalted, O God. Above the heavens, let our glory be above all the earth. Hallelujah. Those people that come against us, unbelievers. Amen? They are unbelievers. They are people who do not want to hear the word of God. Amen? Understand that when somebody comes against the word of God, they don't believe. Amen? They could not believe this book and then come against it. Amen? Those are seeking their own. Amen? Say that with me. Seeking their own. Are you with me? Now, I really need you today to be just freshened up and ready, because I'm going to do some reading, and I promise to not leave you behind. I want to share with you. I want to teach you. I want you to be informed in the Bible. Amen? Say that with me. Informed in the Bible. I want you to have to knowledge. I want you to understand the understanding. Thank you, Lord. There was a prayer breakfast last week before the inauguration. And Pastor Jeffries, anybody know who he is? A wonderful man of God. He's a wonderful pastor. They asked him, and he was on almost every channel that he was on. They asked, what did you talk about? What did you preach on? And he said, I preached on Nehemiah. And I listened to that, and I said, I wonder how many Christians who go to church and never read the Bible even know who Nehemiah was, never mind whether there's a book of Nehemiah in the Bible. So I thought, I want to just read, and I want you to hear from Nehemiah and perhaps understand where Pastor Jeffries was coming from. But I want you to do one more thing for me. I want you to take your political mind. I want you to take that political mind. I want you to put it in a box outside. It'll be there later, okay? I promise your political mind will be, but I want you to hear the spiritual now. I want you to receive God, and I pray that my words are not from me, but from the book, amen? And I want you to understand where Pastor Jeffries was coming from when he went to Nehemiah for the prayer breakfast. And I tell you one thing I've heard a lot this week. I heard the name of Jesus a lot. And I heard a lot of people praying. And I heard a lot of people not afraid to pray. Amen? Because who's going to lead us? God. Amen? Is man going to lead us? No. Who's going to lead us? God. And I want you to know. And so I'm going to start. We're going to start right at Nehemiah. Thank you, Lord. Last week we talked about who? Anybody remember? We talked about Ezra. And it's so funny that last week, without me, it was God was in control, because I had no idea that I was going to preach on Nehemiah, and I had no idea that Nehemiah and Ezra were, guess what, friends. But Ezra was a priest. He was a scribe. Amen. And what did he say? He had three things that he did, Ezra. And he did these three things. He himself. Bernie, good to see you. He seeked God. He seeked God for himself. Amen? And then he thought the second thing was to do what God had called him to do. Amen? Do not just what called him to do, Lisa, but do what God called him to do it. To do it the way God wanted. And the third thing was to teach it. To teach the word of God the way God had wanted the word to be taught, so that you could use it, Walter, in your personal life. Amen? Those were Ezra's three desires. And that's what he did. He was a scribe, and he lived, and he was in Jerusalem. Amen? Now you know that, because now you're going to see later on in this, when as we read, you're going to say, oh, I didn't know that. Amen? Amen? Now stay with me now, and here we go. Thank you. It came to pass in the month of Chislev, which actually is, I had that, it's like the ninth month of the Jewish calendar in the 20th year. It's usually around November, December. And he said, I was in Shushan, the citadel. Then Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judea. And I, Nehemiah, asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and who had survived the captivity. And concerning Jerusalem. Who did he ask about? Jerusalem. Why would he ask about Jerusalem? It is the Jewish holy city. Say that with me. The Jewish holy city. He asked about Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Amen.
his love for Jerusalem, his love for the Word of God. He knew that that center, that city, was destroyed. He says, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. What did he do? And he mourned for many days. And now listen to this. If this isn't something you need to write down and understand about prayer, he said, I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. He was making sacrifice for many days. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. Day and night. For the children of Israel, your servants, and confess, do what? Confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house, I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you. Can I get an amen? You see this country today. You hear anybody? You hear what we're taking God out of everything. Amen? We have acted very corruptly against you, Lord, and have not kept your commandments. How many see that today? Amen? The statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But, say that word with me, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest parts of heaven, to the darkest parts, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to a place where I have chosen a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, Lord, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ears be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servants prosper this day. Do what? Prosper. And then he said, I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. And then he says something very interesting. For I was the king's cupbearer. He was living and he saw Jerusalem and he saw the city and he saw the sins going on. Amen. All the things that had nothing to do with God going on in the city and all these people that didn't know God going in the city and destroying the city. Amen. There was nothing left. The people were hurting because God had been removed. Amen. His heart's desire was to do something about this. Now you see what God does. You're going to understand in a little while that God gave him favor. God did not only give him favor, Gary, he put him in a place of favor. Because the walls of Jerusalem had been tried to be built at least three times before. And three times before, it failed. Amen? And you're going to understand why it failed. But this time, God put a man in a place of favor and a place where he could get his heart's desire. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I'm going to continue now. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, which is actually the first Jewish month around springtime on the Jewish calendar, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him. And I took the wine, Nehemiah saying, and I gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. And I got to explain what that means. It means that he was the king's cupbearer. Amen. That means he was right there with the king. That means he got to partake with all the good things of the king. Amen. The food and everything. He was in a great place of favor, a great place of honor, that there was nothing that he would want that he could not get. So he was in a place where he could not look. Why would he look sad? Amen. Why would he be sad if he was in such a beautiful place? Amen. So I took the wine and I gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad? Since you are not sick, this is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lie waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, praise God. The king said, what do you request? Amen. Listen to who said that to him? The king. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, listen to what he did and listen to the power of prayer and listen when you're in prayer. Praise, this is so powerful that it just passes people by. The king says, what do you request? And so I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king. He prayed to the God of heaven and said, what did he do first before he spoke? He prayed. And what was the king asking him for? His heart's desire. He was about to tell the king his heart. Did you think he knew what he wanted to say? Absolutely. What he was feeling. But what did he do first? He prayed. And it's so a prayer. He prayed to who? He prayed like that. And you think the king noticed the prayer? Absolutely not. It was such a prayer of power. He's finally saying, one more time, help me, Lord. Help me to say the whatever you could say the right things. Be that. He just prayed one more time. What? That's prayer. When you're faced with things, you pray. And the king didn't even notice. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judea, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Listen to how much the king loved him. Listen to what the king says first. This is his first reply. Then the king said to me, and the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be? And when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Nehemiah was so loved by the king that before Pat he answered what to do, he wanted to know, how long are you going to be gone? I don't want to miss you. When are you going to return? Imagine that kind of love and favor with the king. Amen? Just was Nehemiah. And who put him in that position? God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now listen. Now Nehemiah hears this and he realizes how much he's loved. Listen to what he says. Furthermore, I said to the king, now he's rolling. If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors. Listen to what he's saying. Give me letters for the governors of the region beyond the river that they must. They do what? They must permit me to pass through till I come to Judea. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must, what? He what? Must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Amen. He gave God the praise. Amen. And you wonder, well, what's the big deal that the king understand that the wall had, three times they had tried to build the wall and it failed. Amen. Men tried to build it. Now he asked the king for something very special. What did he ask for? Letters. Letters to give to each person he was going to need help from. Amen. And when they got a letter from the king, what did they have to do? They had to do what? Do it. Amen. Then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. Oh my goodness. Listen now, here we go. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite officials heard of it, they were deeply disturbed. What were they? Disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. He brought these letters to these people who were not part of the city of Jerusalem, not believers, amen, in the city of Jerusalem. And what was the first thing they were doing? They were disturbed because now they had letters from the king to do one thing that they did not want done, amen. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Are you guys okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. So now, he's there, he's in Jerusalem, and he goes for 3 days and he surveys everything. He surveys the city all around. He sees the gates burned down. He sees the walls burned down. He sees the sin. He sees all the destruction. He sees people doing things that are abominations to God, amen. He doesn't see anything about God, amen. He sees destruction on the left. He sees it on the right. He sees walls burned down. He sees nothing about who? Hallelujah. In the city. And he travels for 3 days to survey it all. And then he says this. After he comes back, then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. And he says, come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be in reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they shall set their hands to this good work. Amen. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?" You see the ignorance of what their statement, "Will you rebel against the king?" Who gave Nehemiah the right to do this? Hallelujah. See, they did not know. So I answered them and I said to them, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem." He's telling them, "We're going to build this wall and you don't have any right to tell me because there's nothing in there that belongs to you. You have no right. You're not a believer. You're not part of that. You have nothing to say except the only reason that you want the wall not to be built is because you want it to continue in the waste that it is. You want to be able to run in and run out and do all that you want to do. But you have no right to tell me not to build it." Let me read it again. Let me read what he said. "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem." Somebody on the outside telling him what to do in his home. I mean, are you with me? Praise God. And we're going to move a little further now. Please keep your political brains back. Please keep up there, please. Please, I want you to stay spiritual with me. Now they start to build, but it so happened, I'm Nehemiah 4, it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious. What was he? Furious. Now how can he be furious? He's not even part of it. And very indignant. And he mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heap of rubbish, stones that are burned?" And listen, now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, listen to what he said, "They will build, but even if a fox goes up against it, he will break down their stone wall." Hallelujah. "Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn the reproach," and this is Nehemiah saying, "Hear, O God, we are despised. Turn the reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sins be blotted out before you. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders." So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind of work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. They became what? Angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. To who? And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Now, this is interesting. And this is from me. Now, I'm just going to give it. But this is interesting. It's like when Jesus came and he talked to the Pharisees. Remember, and he was in the synagogues. Now, Jesus was there. Jesus, who? He was. People were this close. This close to salvation. This close to miracle. This close to things in their life so beautiful that they didn't even, they couldn't believe. They were this close to healing and to everything that they ever wanted. Jesus was standing right there and they looked at him and did not see him. Amen. They had two choices, to accept him or not accept him. Amen. Now these people outside of Jerusalem had two choices. Two choice. How many? Two choice. And they chose the one where they were going to come against every single thing that was being done. Now they had a second choice. Another ever talks about the second choice. Amen. The second choice was they could have said, "Hey, you know what? They're going to build that wall. And they're going to be secure. And I know their God. I don't believe in their God. I am unfaithful to their God. But I know that if they build that wall and they're faithful to God, they're going to be blessed." Amen. There's going to be blessings. They're going to come. So we have another option. Why don't we join them? Why don't we help them build the wall? Why don't we stand with them and say, "You know, we don't like this, but we're going to help you." Because then if we help them and they build the wall, we might find favor with them. We might find favor to do things with them. They might invite us in and pray with us. And we might be blessed. Even though we don't believe that God, we know how he blesses those who do believe. So we had a choice. They could have said, "You know, we don't agree with this. They despised it. But they said, imagine if they just said, "We'll help you." And then they helped him build the wall. And then all of a sudden, these people found favor with the city of Jerusalem. They found favor with our God, amen, the God of heaven, the God of the book, amen. They had those two choices, but which choice did they make? You know the choice, amen. But there were two choices. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to 6 now. I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen and just hear what Nehemiah was up against. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of the enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors and the gate, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, "Hey, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plains of Ono." But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, "I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?" But they sent me this message 4 times. How many times?
4.
And I answered them in the same manner. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, the 5th time, with an open letter in his hand. And it was written, and they read this. It is reported, it is what? Among the nations, and Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, saying, "There is a king in Judea." Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come therefore and let us consult together. What was he doing? They lied, amen. But here's the sad part. They did not have knowledge of the lie that they possessed, amen. They lied to him saying he was going to do this and this without knowing that he had the approval of who? And the king knew exactly what he was going to and how he was going to do it and why he was going to do it, amen. Then I sent to them saying, "No such thing as you are saying are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, 'Their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done.' Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah 8, listen. Listen to what happened. Thank you, Lord. Listen to what happened. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra. They told who?
Ezra.
Imagine that. The scribe to bring the book of the law to Moses. The wall had been built. The people were inside it. And this is the first thing that they did, and the reason why. This is the reason why Nehemiah wanted the wall built. Not for any other reason, but to do this. All the people were together as one man in the open square. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of law of Moses, to bring the Bible, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. On the first day of the 7th month. Then he read from it in the open square. What did he do?
Read.
He read from the book, from the Bible, that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Amen. He wanted Jerusalem to turn back to God. Amen. He wanted Jerusalem to remember God, to be in a place where they could praise God. Amen. He wanted to bring God back and remove the unbelievers. He wanted to remove anything that had nothing to do with anything other than God. He wanted to remove that. Amen. That's why building the wall was to Ezra. Amen. The hedge, the wall. Now, was that wall to protect them forever? Absolutely not. Amen? Hallelujah. It wasn't intended for that. It was intended to bring people back to God, to give them a place of quiet, to stop all the removing God and give them a place where they could stand and feel secure for a minute, to feel like they could breathe for a minute and talk about God and share God. And what did Ezra do? He did that. He stood there and he read from what? The book of the law. He read from Moses about God. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. He wanted the people to be protected from the world. I heard something today about something else that just there. We accept all thoughts. We accept all people who want to feel free to feel what they want to feel. To me, I'm telling you right from the pulpit, that's an abomination to God. Amen. We're coming into this church for one thing, to what Ezra did, to learn the Word of God, to learn it, and to be able to use it in our lives. Amen. To make us stronger when we face trials. How many know you got trials and tribulations? But when you're strong with God, you face them different. Hallelujah. He built that. Now, I want you to hear from God. I want to read something just a little bit more from... Thank you very much. You guys have been wonderful. Stay with me. Hallelujah. From the book of Job. Listen. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came along with them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns him?" Satan answered the Lord and said this, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the works of his hand, and his possessions have increased his land. But now stretch your hand out and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Have you not made a hedge around him?" Who said that? Satan. He said it to God. And what did God do for Job? Made a hedge of protection around him. How many ever prayed for a hedge of protection? Hallelujah. When I prayed earlier this morning and you said amen, I said, "Lord, let the angels fly around the church." Amen. And keep us safe. Amen. Put a hedge of protection around this church to keep us safe. Amen. Why? To keep out anybody who doesn't want to hear the word of God, who will cause division and destruction. Are you with me? Hallelujah. A hedge of protection. Angels around the church. A wall around our church. I want to build a wall around this church. But listen to what I'm saying to you. A wall around this church with a big door in the front that welcomes people. Wide open. Amen. The door is open. Say that with me. Open. Open for something. That welcome to you all who yearn to hear the word of God. Amen. And let God in their hearts and build a personal relationship with God and with Jesus. Because this is a bride without spot or blemish. We have to be a bride. You can say we can, well, we can accept this and we'll accept this and all, or people, we're going to accept that, but we become the bride with the blemish. Amen. I believe that we need to be protected by the book of the law. I believe that we need to protect each other in that wall to keep people, to keep you growing and keep people from causing division and keep other people, outsiders, say that word with me, outsiders. Who didn't want the wall built? Unbelievers, outsiders did not want. Why would they have so much to gain from not, what did they care? If you don't care about the religion, why did you worry about the wall? The same thing here. Other churches and other places are going crazy. They want to accept everything. No, we got to accept the word of God. I got to put a wall around this church for us. We have a door in the middle of the church and Dave's back there and it is wide open. Amen? Gary, it is wide open for anybody who wants to walk in and hear the word of God. You guys are with us. You're family with us. We're part of it together. Hallelujah. For some that walk through that door, it'll be a return to faith. Hallelujah. People have been going to church for 30 years and don't have faith because they didn't know the word. It'll be a return to faith. Others, the life-changing choice of following God. Are you with me? So when those times of trial and tribulation come, there is an inner strength, a spirit that surpasses our own understanding that keeps us upright. We see it every day. When we see and we all do the impossible, a victory in your lives means a victory in our church life. Inside this hedge of protection, we go back to the Bible. We go back to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we tell people, come home to Jesus. Amen? The wall was for Jerusalem, not for protection, forever and ever. Not to keep bad people out. Nothing to do with keeping anybody out. It was to bring God back in. Amen? And the wall was to bring people back to God. To give them that peace where they could breathe for a minute and actually hear the Word of God and actually live the Word of God again without anybody else screaming at them, hollering at them, distrusting them, angry at them for saying God. Amen? And that's what we're doing here in this church. I pray that there's angels every Sunday. And I pray it in my house every day. And I pray it around my car every day. Angels, a hedge of protection from Him. I don't care what the world tells me. I want it from Him. I want to put my faith in Him. And I want this church built on one thing, this book, God. Amen? That's what we're doing. And that, I believe, is why Pastor Jeffries chose Nehemiah when he went and gave that prayer service. Because this country needs to get back to God. It doesn't matter what race, where we are, what color we are, anything else in the world. This country needs to focus on God because He blessed it 240 plus years ago. And we have been blessed because we have followed what He has taught us. Amen? And we have grown because we have accepted people to come here to wanted the dream that we had under God. Amen? And that's why I believe that story is so important to understand unpolitically. Understand it spiritually, amen, what we're doing. So when somebody says something new about Nehemiah, you know now what that's all about, amen. Give him praise because knowledge wins. Hallelujah. The wall was never meant for protection. It was meant for a time of healing and a time of returning to God. And those who fought the worst against that wall were unbelievers who had nothing to do what was inside that wall. Had nothing to gain from it, nothing. They had nothing inside that wall that belonged to them. They put nothing in that wall. Inside that wall, they didn't talk about that God. They didn't live for that God. The outsiders, the ones who did not want Nehemiah to build that wall, were people who didn't even know and didn't care about what was inside that wall. Yet they fought so hard to fight against it. Instead of saying, maybe we should help. Because if we help, then they might see us as helpers, and we might receive favor. When God blesses them, that we will fall back over to us, and we will receive favor, and we'll be a place of healing. We'll be in a place of healing, because what is theirs is ours. But if we help them protect ours, they'll help us protect ours too. Hallelujah. The story of Nehemiah, so many things. So spiritual. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now I'm going to ask you all to do the Lord's Supper with me as we remember Jesus and what He did on that cross. Praise the Lord. Ezra and Nehemiah read from the Word of God. They loved God. They love God today in heaven. But we have something that they did not have. We have the Son. We have Jesus with that amazing grace. And all the blessings that we have that they did not have. Hallelujah. And He, Jesus, asked us to do this in this church in remembrance of Him. Amazing grace. How great the sound to save the wretch like me. It's all of us. We're going to have things to deal with and disagreements to deal with. We're going to have ups and downs in here, but as long as we keep Jesus around us, as long as we do it unto God, and we do it with peace, and we do it together, we shall overcome with God always. With God we always win, and with love never fails. Because of what Jesus did, we have that amazing grace. We show it to each other, and we remember in Jesus' name. Go home and read Nehemiah. Some of it is just names of the people who helped, and some of it is names of people who prayed. But read the story. Ask God to open your heart and see what He went against and who went against Him and why. Why would they? And see what He wanted to do. He wanted to bring God back. And that's what we want to do in this church. Come home to Jesus is the difference. I believe it. I know it. This week, God was with me so many times. Even my wife was just smiling. But so many times, He was there. And I don't know how to say thank you. Because I see Him, just like Mark Bush, I see Him in the littlest of things, Flo. I do. You need to see Him. You won't worry about the operation for your grandeur or your knee or your medication, because God has always provided. So you provide for you so you can provide for others. I believe that's what God is wanting us to do. Come together. Give Him praise, church. Let Him hear it.